Hi Neil, how are you?
Hi, Femka.
Hi Maria, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, good.
Hey,
I'm sorry I'm a little late. I had to put my son down. He's been a little bit fussy this morning.
yeah, that happens often, doesn't it? Just generally with kids. It's
Yeah.
unpredictable.
Yes. And I think now he has just learned to be a little bit more how do you say that with separation anxiety. So I
Yeah.
walk out of the room, he starts
Yeah.
crying.
You think you're gone forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so cruel.
Neil's on the call too, I think. Is
Yes, Neil is here.
Yes, good morning, Maria
Yes.
FMK.
Hello.
Hi,
How
Neil.
are you?
You're tired? Sitting
Yes.
in the 6 degrees in 4 o'clock in the morning.
6 degrees. Did you say
Yeah,
that, Neil?
I did, yes.
Yeah.
That's what winter does over here.
Like Celsius or
Yes, Celsius.
Celsius.
Okay. That's still cold. You know, I'm doing this 10-week course from this guy. He's referred to as the Iceman. And you have to take like cold showers and eventually get into like ice baths. And it's like a combination of breathing exercises and like all to kind of manage your immune system and
Oh, okay.
to just boost your energy. And it's really amazing. I went into like a lake the other day, 18 degrees. And usually I would never have gone in, and I
Yeah.
would have like, or it would have taken me an hour. And
Yeah.
now I just went in, and I was just like breathing, and I was so getting used to cold, because I have like I really hated cold.
So is it a mindset thing that he does? Is that essentially a mindset thing, or is it?
Yeah, I think it's mindset, because you focus on it, but also you through the use of your breathing, you learn to, I guess, manage your autonomic nervous system,
Okay.
or parasympathetic or whatever,
Okay.
so that like it closes off like certain around your chest, it closes off certain vessels.
Okay.
So that you can manage it better.
Yep.
When this guy walked like the Kilimanjaro, hiked up the Kilimanjaro in just his shorts.
Oh.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, gosh.
I don't think I'll be doing
Oh.
that
Yeah,
anytime soon.
always admire those people who can dive straight in to the water and do things like that. Like,
Yeah, and like I've only been doing it like 2.5 weeks, something like that. It's like ridiculous. I take cold showers like it's nothing. So, anyway, what is it that you guys would like to do today or discuss?
I'll let you go ahead, Neil.
Okay, I was thinking. I think actually I don't know at the moment, really. I feel as if there's a whole lot of things that are sort of going on. So I can't sort of say actually this is the thing I'd like to talk about or do something about.
Okay.
Well, I'll throw this out there, Neil, and see if it's appeals. I was just generally thinking, because I've been asking Femke about little bits and pieces on certain parts of coaching, but I would actually really love a to create a plan for improving my coaching. So, like breaking it down into like what are some of the the habits and whether it's, you know, obviously other than just coaching and then being benchmarked, but whether it's particular books, you know, like a strategy or that you've had, Femke, over, you know, the years that you used just to improve your coaching and increase your, you know, skills. And that's what I was thinking. I don't know if how does that sound, Neil?
Yeah, well, that sounds very interesting, because it sort of links into what I was saying in some way, that there's all these little threads and things all over the place, and you know, bringing them into a concise plan. Mm-hmm. That sounds like that would be a useful thing to do.
So, like, essentially, a plan to improve overall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that gives a bit more focus for me, I suppose.
Okay, that sounds good. Let me think where I would start then. Because have both of you watched the video on creating a coaching program?
I don't think I've watched that yet.
Okay. And how about detection and analysis?
Yes, that's what, I liked that one.
Okay. So, because ultimately I think like what made like a big difference for me, well, there's a couple of things. First, it is to really, to put it a little bit bluntly, but to make coaching a lot simpler by deleting some of the models that we're learning, and to make it really simple. So one of the things that that I'm working on is to really focus on, okay, if we have a model, like how are we practically using it in a coaching conversation?
Mm-hmm.
So that you take away the theory and just focus on, okay, this is how it's useful. Mm-hmm. And that really is something that over the years I have, because initially, to be honest, now that I'm talking about it, I was so in awe of meta coaching and respectful, if you will, of meta coaching, that I did not have permission to think like, hey, you know what, this doesn't work, or this is too convoluted, or makes it too difficult. And so once I gave myself permission to look at like what makes it practical and what is some of the things that I can forget rather than trying to integrate everything.
Mm-hmm.
That made a big difference for me. And also for my clients. Cause I think if I look at what I've been doing over the past year in comparison to what I've been doing before that, it has been really focused on like trying to integrate it all into this one template. You've got present state and desired state. Everything revolves around that.
Mm-hmm.
And builds up on that. So if you are able to, in a coaching conversation, identify present and desired state and get the details as well as the big picture, then you've already got, you've already made like a huge step in terms of progress.
Yeah.
So
what are some of the things that then, so what have you, like, what are you choosing now to focus on that's changed over the last year?
So present and desired state is the basis.
Yeah.
And then I know that I have, as part of the present and desired state, obviously that leads me through the entire well-formed outcome funnel. But rather than thinking, I have to get through all of the questions, I just know there's a what, and I want to have all of the elements of that. So that's the strategy process is the, of the present state and desired state that, that gets you through the first six questions of the well-formed outcome. So that's just the what. Because I've visualized that, I know that, you know, there's a trigger and there's a state and there's beliefs that hold that in place that drives the behavior. I'm already asking all of those questions that are part of the first six questions.
Mm-hmm.
So then above present and desired state, I have a big enough why and a why not to create energy. And once I have that energy and the information, the detection and analysis of what to change, I get my client a choice point so I can make a decision. All of that I have put in the same picture. So I'm not really working on, like, I'm not separating the well-formed outcome and the axis of change anymore. Make that to me makes little sense. Which one do I follow? So, and that just makes it a lot easier, because if, like, in my mind, I have present and desired state. If my client, so the other day I was listening to a coaching conversation and someone said, well, yeah, but I'm afraid that if I don't change, then I'm going to have to get a job. So that's a big why not. So I write that down under why not.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can also go to the big why and why that is important. But it, I just have like a way to put that information somewhere so that I can forget about it for the moment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that really, and then between the why and why not, I have decision. So analysis and then decision. So really bringing it down into like all of those phases of I do exploration and gathering of information to get the what. I need to have a big enough why. Then I need to have like an awareness of what's going on so that I can make it detect and, you know, do a detection and analysis so that I get the awareness so that I am I can help my client make an informed decision.
Yeah.
Okay.
In terms of like, if I look at benchmarking and I'm actually in the process of, making the benchmarking form a whole lot simpler.
Mm-hmm.
Under the skill of supporting, I listen for acknowledgements and frames and, putting words to emotions and gestures as well as semantic matches. But initially I'm not like focusing on all of the other stuff. For listening, I listen for clarity checks. If those are not there, like all of the other things are not, they're not going to be pertinent to anything because it's not grounded. So clarity checks, I'm foregrounding that to learn and teach that.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like a dance with meta questions. Like, yes, you know, so Maria, you asked earlier, like with regards to meta questions, what kinds of questions? Well, to me, it's once you, like, that's obviously good to know, but to me, once you know what state you want to induce in your client or what meta state you want to, that you're after in your client, then meta questions come a lot more easily. So breaking it down into, I know four questions around present state, four questions around desired state, that's already eight. Then I two away from and two towards questions. And you already have 12.
Okay. Can we go through those? So it was four each of present state and desired state. Can I write those down, Femke, please?
Yeah, so really it is like, so this trigger, someone has a trigger. So in the coaching conversation that I was listening to before with you, Maria,
yeah.
You asked a question and that created a state. So what do you believe about this question that creates that state? And then what do you believe about that? What do you believe about that? What do you believe about that? Or what conclusion have you drawn from that? What reference experience comes up for you? What understanding do you have about that? So just four kinds of meta questions, like what, who do you become in this situation that puts you into that state?
I like that question. Who do you become?
So,
what was the rest of it? Sorry, Femke, I'm just going to write it down. So who do you become? What was the
rest? What do you believe about this trigger that puts you into this state? And what reference experience are you using that puts you into that state? So like I want to, and that's like I want to layer it. So I have my first belief.
Okay.
If I were doing a better job, then Okay, so let's say that you that you're not doing a better job. What do you believe about that? That puts you into that state. So you'll notice actually that I asked that question. What do you believe about that? That's my go-to question, and if it works, it works. If someone actually talks about a meta level, so if they start talking about their identity, or if they start talking about like a reference experience, then I'll go into that domain, if you will. What conclusion have you drawn from that reference experience that puts you that now has you into that state?
I'm just trying to say conclusion. They're really very, very specific questions, and I can really see how they would help hone that present state, because I think that's, the trouble too with someone who's very global, trying to then even just entice that present state out of that person.
Yes, and this is just some feedback for you, I think. I'm curious, in when you are coaching, how global you are.
Maybe not enough. Do you think I'm global, and I'm trying to then put all the pieces. So I'm trying to imagine and, you know, kind of put myself into that the client's position and trying to kind of experience, like, okay, so what's the structure of their thinking? What would be your feedback, Femke?
Yeah, because I'm like, you mentioned with the coaching that you have done with this lady, that you think that she is global. But I don't hear you ask very specific questions that, like, in this conversation, this last one, it was already a more detailed than the previous one. But I think she's giving you quite a lot of details.
Okay.
That you can grab hold of and ground. And to really, like, stick with that would be really valuable.
Okay. And specifically when you say ground, how do you do that?
So she, like, just to give you an example, and we'll go into in a bit more detail. She eventually went to, if I can manage her mood, I am safe. And I'm curious, what does she mean with safe? Safe from what specifically?
Mm-hmm.
And because apparently there's something dangerous going on there. So then I want to know what she sees and thinks and feels and believes that makes her feel unsafe. So if I hear that, I want to know what specifically is safe. Safe implies there is a danger.
Yeah.
And getting those kinds of details.
So really more clarity questions, essentially? Is that kind of, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And that relates also to layering. So we can ask clarity questions. So when we start getting the strategy process, for example, of the present state, you can have a trigger, and then you have, like, your client can state a few beliefs, and then you want to start layering those beliefs to really start understanding how someone creates their state. So first there's this trigger, then this is what you say to yourself, and then what do you believe about that, and what do you then believe about that belief, so that you layer that. And then bring it all together.
Okay, to feed back the structure.
Yeah.
That's really useful, Femke.
Good.
I think the permission and the simplicity to do that is really a key for me, certainly, too. I know right now, you know, we're in the middle of doing our webinars in preparation for the assist team for ACMC in the end of the year.
Okay.
So we're going through all the skills and going through all the benchmark sheets into, you know, all the 50 sub-elements of each of them. So, and doing that's useful to learn, relearn as well. But then I just sort of feel like in a recent coaching session, I reflect back, well, actually, I didn't do very much of this myself on the benchmarking form.
Okay.
There's sort of lots and lots and lots of detail. And I think, you know, stepping out of all of that, and even like your couple of examples, you know, around listening and clarity checks, or, you know, acknowledgements and supporting.
Yeah.
To find, you know, the real core inside of all of those.
Yeah, and that's really going to make it so much easier also to benchmark.
Yeah, that's right. So that's really valuable, and also to get like the higher level view of how the models fit together and how the simplicity of how they fit.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I guess what I feel like with some more recent sessions that I've done, I think I've been looking to discover the strategy process and to sketch that out during the conversation.
Okay.
And I feel that that's been really beneficial for my clients as that arises.
Yeah.
And then, so when I do that, I sense that this is valuable for the client. And then I like second guess myself. Well, you know, this is not like a pure well-formed outcome process.
So in what way?
I'm guessing it's around,
in what way is not pure?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, I'm not following like a pure well-formed outcome funnels, not always following that. So, you know, a session might just sort of remain at you know, the strategy process and identifying the patterns within either present state or desired state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of where we get to.
Okay.
And then, okay, next session is whatever, you know, we decide that needs to be.
Yeah. Well, and that, like, already, I think that just doing that makes already a big difference, because then, and so this is one of the things that I, that makes sense to me, is that question of what do you need to do to get there? So first you have the what, and then you have the how. And so, like all of those questions, what do you need to do? Can you do it? Have you done it before? Is it intrinsic? What are the steps and stages? And like all of that is part of the how.
Yeah.
But you can only answer that question if you are informed enough.
Yes.
On what's going on. And so, rather than rushing through the well-formed outcome, having that you know, spending that time on this is where what you're doing right now, this is what you want to be doing, what is the difference, then you can easily, then those questions are so much easier for your clients. And you already have like some answers, like because you've got, because you do the detection and analysis, you can even say like, so it sounds like what we need to work on is this and this and this. Is that correct? Anything else? So then you're already creating your plan and identifying like, okay, what can you do yourself? What can you not do yourself, etc.
Yes.
Can I ask you, sorry, Neil, I'll let you finish.
Oh, I was just, what was I thinking there? Yeah, I think the permission to play more around with the simplicity of what you're suggesting is going to be a key for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing that's sort of part of why, like the very first question, what is it that I would like to do this morning? It's like, well, there's all this detail, there's all these bits and pieces. So how do I find a cut through pathway through that? So I think that's a key for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that really, like I would just say with getting the template in your mind and practicing with that, because if you want to have the, if you know that you need the trigger and you know that you need the state and the like, and the see, hear, feel of the state and the behavior that results from that and the beliefs that hold that in place, then you're going to be asking clarity questions. You're going to be asking meta questions. You're going to be asking the context questions. So you, yes. It's like that, it follows naturally rather than thinking, oh, I have to do these kinds of questions.
Yeah.
So, beginning with that and to, to first play with that and then the detection and analysis and pinpointing what is it that we need to be working on. A lot of the time that makes such a huge difference already for your clients.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, I think that I'm doing that much more at the moment, even with a session yesterday. I think it was really strategy process, pattern detection to really identify what's going on in the present state for the client.
Yeah.
And really that was all the conversation was. And then, you know, the wrap up was really around, what you need to do now, what's next, what the next session focus needs to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, like I've been, one of my clients has downloaded that template that I created and she's been coaching me. And it was so funny to like, to be coached in like that structure and to then, all of a sudden she like, it was like, she was a lot more focused and she started confronting me on things.
Yes.
And I was like, wait a minute. So, I think it makes it a lot easier to follow the template. One thing also, Maria, that I feel strongly about is to learn, benchmarking, and to really like do a lot of benchmarking. So you can go online and listen to recordings. Actually, Vaiman, who is on the ACMC Revisited, she's doing a lot of benchmarking and then listening to my feedback. And that really helps you understand all of the skills and integrate all of the skills.
Yeah. Is that the links to the ACMC calls? Is that where
Yeah. Okay. And you can just click on anyone and there'll be like some questions and then a coaching conversation. I think there might be like 3 or 4 where we just talk. But other than that, it's all coaching conversations.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So, and that really helps. I think that made a big difference for me is to do the benchmarking.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a really great advice to do. I'm gonna implement that action. That's doable.
Yeah. And then it's also a case of one of the things for me was to really explore what are some of the things, some of the thinking styles that are really holding me back. So I had a really like an issue with, and I didn't know this because I knew how to do details in terms of, you know, because I have an accounting background. So
yeah,
I know how to do details. I know how to sort for differences when it comes to numbers, but the sensory, like to be sensory specific, that is not always so easy.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a huge difference in coaching. If you're able to be sensory specific.
Yeah.
And that has something to do with being able to do details, but just the ability to do details is not necessarily going to get you to being sensory specific.
So how did you develop that flexibility?
I think the one of the main things that eventually got me to think, oh my God, this makes, oh, this is what they've been talking about for years. is to ask an example, like, and get and really climb into that example. What is it that you see? And the practicing the which one is it? Metastating concepts pattern.
Okay.
Also on in the online, you can. There's all the videos of the APG that I have.
Yeah.
And you can watch the metastating concepts and so to really get into like the submodalities. So if there's a trigger, someone is like someone is shouting yeah. is not specific. So like how loud does it need to be, you know, like on a scale from 0 to 100, okay. What level is it at? And is there a specific intonation? So really getting into those details and like, what do I need to hear that triggers you? Or what do I need to see? Is it in black and white? Is it moving? Mm. Those kinds of things. If it's like an external, just something external, is it, what is someone doing that you interpret as judging? Well, they're frowning. And they're using a specific word mm-hmm. that is a trigger. And so really getting practice with the metastating concepts has made a difference for me.
I'm really excited about that because I can really see how useful that would be to really try and picture and you know, view things as the client would view things as. Mm.
Right, yes.
Right.
Yeah, so if someone like earlier, if someone is like, if I can manage her mood, I am safe, that statement, then I am safe, yeah. Then I want to know what is she seeing, what is she referring to? So here is like a reference. She's using something as a reference.
Yeah.
In situations where she felt unsafe. If she's going to be able to tell you what she sees, hears, feels, you can feed that back. Because what happens a lot in with our clients is that they have interpreted something and they are not in their sensory, in their senses anymore. And so for them, it's already shouting. For them, it's already unsafe. It's already unfair or betrayal. And what is it before it is labeled as betrayal? What does someone need to do or say that you interpret as betrayal? And so that's why that I learned a lot from doing that pattern, which is essentially is at the very core of most coach conversations.
Yeah.
Just something coming up for me now.
Let's go with Maria first, and then we'll go to you, Neil.
Yes, okay.
Well, I was just, I was going to move on. So if Neil's on, I was moving on to just the desired state. So the questions around the desired state, are they similar to, what are they to get your desired state? You mentioned the four questions, so.
Yeah, so Neil, were you still going to be on the same topic or?
Oh, slightly different. So stay there. Yep.
Okay, so so just to answer your question, Maria, so you want to know the state. What state do you want to be in instead? And then what do you need to believe about yourself that puts you into that state, or what, or just simple, what do you need to believe about this trigger that puts you into that state? And they may not know, which in that case, it becomes a topic of a conversation. And usually like you may not ask four, but you may ask like two or three of those questions. Because it can also very quickly turn to like being more solution oriented. But just to get an idea of what do you need to believe instead, that puts you into the state that you want to be in. And then you can, check, like, do you know how to do that? So yesterday I had the coaching client and she went from, they know it better, others know it better, to like, I know very well what is good for me. And so we had identified the beliefs. And then it's a case of like, do you know how to hold that in mind, or to have to foreground that when you are triggered by something? So like she's able to have that belief in situations where she's not triggered, but in the situation where she's not getting results and the pressure is on, that's when the other belief pops up. So then we need to work on that. But we have identified the belief. And if she doesn't know it, then that's what we can talk about.
Right. Great, thank you.
Yeah. And then you can ask, so this is like, this is what I do a lot in terms of like checking the quality of it, which in a way is a meta question. So I'll feedback. So when you are triggered by, like I'll use the example of that I had yesterday with one of my clients. She had to write down as part of a program that she's doing, a sales training, she had to write down her products and programs. And as she's writing down that list, she goes to, should I be doing something else? Is this right? And she's really starting to create like confusion for herself and very externally referenced. So I feed that back to her. And I know that her outcome is to find her own way in business, in her doing business. And so then I like can ask, so like, this is how you're doing it right now, putting you in this state. How's that working for you when it comes to being yourself in business? So that's a meta question. Like, and what are the consequences? What are the consequences going to be of continuing to do it this way? And then once we do that, then I've got the big enough away from, then I can also look at, okay, so let's take a look at some of the things that you're doing with, like, external. It seemed like the external reference was very strong, so we need to do more internal reference and having, like, a stronger belief about, like, her own abilities and skills.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so then I have already asked a few more meta questions.
And with the dance between the present state and the desired state, are you really asking lots of, does it kind of work like this? You're really dialing into the structure of the present state and then, you know, getting lots of clarity and exploration before you then go into the desired state and...
Yeah, a lot of the time I start with the present state because my client starts there. But if they are very towards motivated, then I'll start with the desired state. That doesn't happen all that often. But once I know that, then we can swing it back around to, so if this is what you don't want, what is it that you do want? And here's also something that we focused on. I don't think you were on the call.
Mm-hmm.
But last time and the... The question of have you done this before? Because like it was about having to write a blog, and she said, well, now I have to write more popular, and I'm used to writing more scientific. And her identity was like being a scientific writer, not a popular writer.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I asked, so have you done this writing with ease and writing like in a popular way? Have you done that before? And she said, well, yes, when I was like young and I wrote love letters.
Mm-hmm.
And so what state were you in then that allowed you to be able to do that? Mm-hmm. She's like, well, then I was in love. And so then I can kind of like go, oh, so is that the state that you need to be in and want to be in order to, make the writing easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said afterwards, I would never have been able to come up with that myself had you just asked me, what state do you need to be in?
Yeah. Mm.
And that was like a big insight for me as well, is that sometimes we need to help our client think beyond what they think is possible.
Yeah.
And to really, and a lot of the time, your client is already saying it, but they're not hearing themselves. So one of the things that I remember from, because my husband was coached by Michelle Duvall,
mm-hmm.
and she just fed back his words. So this is what you want. Like, I don't know exactly what it was, like passion, love and joy, something like that, mm-hmm. in the present state. And he... And he was just like, oh my God, how do you know? But that's, yeah, just listening for those cues is really important and makes a big difference. And sometimes giving a menu list.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Is this helping, Maria? Are you getting a...
Yeah, no, it's great. It's really great.
Good. So let me think.
I was going to let... What did Neil have his question?
Oh, yeah. Neil?
Yeah.
Sorry.
This is very helpful. Yes, very helpful.
And did you have a question still?
Yeah, I did. And I mean, this possibly could be a question for another time as well. But the question really is around, you know, the leveraged what and the heart of the matter.
Okay. Yeah.
And beginning to discover that during conversations. Mm-hmm. Because my experience now is that there's so many key things going on that will make a difference for the client. So, you know, there's multiple hearts of the matter here.
Yeah. So that's great, because then you get to do a coaching program rather than just a one-off session.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there was, so my question was around, you know, the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, a conversation like you've shared today around present state, desired state, and, you know, this big, simple structure you use to identify, mm-hmm. you know, the patterns at play. I think it would be really valuable for me, certainly,
yeah.
to hear you talk about, you know, your process around, you know, the leverage to what, the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
I know it's sort of embedded in all that you've said already.
Yeah, but I think...
that would be really useful, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so here's the thing, like, that what I focus on, first, like, once I've got the exploration and gathering of information and organizing that in presence and desired state and getting awareness, and we do the detection and analysis, that allows me to look at, okay, what do we need to work on? Are you able to do this yourself? Yes or no? So then that, like, asking those testing questions already gets me to, like, okay, these are the things that you and I need to work on. And then I start to look at, so if we work on, let's say, working on the reference, external reference, and bringing that internal, then what happens to the prophesying? Will you still be prophesying then? Well, no, there's no need, because I am, you know, like, and then that already shifts. So I, like, first of all, like, I do all the analysis and check to see, like, so what are all the things that need to change in the system? So is it the reference experience that is getting in the way? Is it, like, what are some of the limiting beliefs? Is it, like, a cognitive distortion that is getting in the way? And then if we have, like, an entire list, then what is the first thing that we need to work on? And that might already clear some of the other things.
Yes.
So I get my client to check that. Let's say that you've brought in this internal reference and that's what you're doing. Like what happens to this belief, or what happens to this reference experience? And that might completely change. So doing that allows you to then see which is the one, what is the thing that's driving it?
Yes. Yeah.
Does that help?
So that's, it does. Yes. And I mean, just reflecting, I think I'm doing much more of that in my sessions at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I suppose feeding back and checking in with the client. And actually, you know, even yesterday, you know, what is it that you can do yourself, or that we need to do together in this session?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, to really sort of focus in on, you know, my role in the conversation in this 90 minutes, for example,
mm-hmm.
compared to what the client can do for herself. You know, after the session or between sessions?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's a way for me to begin to understand, you know, the heart of the matter is also the heart of the matter for us in this conversation.
Yes.
And what we need to be talking about together here.
Right. Yeah, that makes a big difference.
That's useful to make that distinction for me, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think what I'm noticing is that, well, certainly for some clients at the moment, you know, very often the heart of the matter is, you know, an inner game issue that is coming up for them.
Yeah.
And that's very frequent what I'm finding at the moment. Well, actually, you know, in a current program, one of the big things was to actually, you know, prepare a plan for herself, because she didn't have one, didn't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in unpacking, well, you know, preparing a plan, you know, a whole range of other things surface within that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think a lot of the time, if we look at all the coaching conversations, so getting clarity, getting like making a plan, apart from maybe experiencing, but some of those like making a plan, a lot of the time your client knows how to plan. That's not the problem.
Mm. Yeah.
But they're not doing it because maybe they have a preference for options. Or maybe they, like, once they have the plan, there's the fear that they actually have to do it and they might fail.
Yes.
So there's a lot of stuff going on there. So the planning itself is not the problem, but it is the inner game that stops them from actually doing the planning. Or
yes, that's right. Yes.
You know, so,
and in this current session, it was certainly around, I suppose, two things really. One was the possibility thinking,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, there was a, you know, a gap in possibility thinking was mm-hmm. is a key thing in terms of, you know, a blocker for actually creating the plan.
Yeah.
And the other one is you know, the big picture detail. So staying at the big picture level and not being able to discover the, you know, the precise detail that would actually, you know, make this plan effective and work.
Right.
So that was sort of two of the key meta programs that were really at the heart of the matter underneath. Well, I need a plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Yeah. So then that you can map that out and then determine, you know, maybe she's using a reference experience, or maybe she's just like the relationship with the word plan is not a good one. Or the word, like, you know, the idea of possibilities. So then it is like, okay, what is it, as you get closer to that heart of the matter, what is the structure of how she thinks in, how she doesn't think in possibilities and how she wants to think in possibilities. Does she know how to do that, to think in possibilities? You know, so then you have like a checklist of things that help you to figure out, okay, what is it that we need to focus on? And I think there's a lot, like, I haven't figured it out entirely yet, but with in terms of the coaching, the kinds of coaching conversations, personally, mm-hmm. I think there are different kinds of coaching conversations or different things that you need to do with your client. And I think most coaching conversations are about change and maybe experience.
Yes.
But not so much the planning.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but something that I'm now exploring is like, okay, how do they come into play, and do you really need that? Do you really need to make those distinctions of what kind of conversation it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. So.
Mm. So I'm thinking, you know, with your present state, desired state, with your template and the version of that I have,
mm-hmm.
You know, so you really, you know, you do you be the meta detective and, you know, what are the multiple states that are operating here? What are the triggers? What's the strategy process? What are the beliefs? What are the behaviors?
Yeah.
There's lots of ways to get, you know, all the detail around that. And right now I'm thinking about, okay, what's the similar sort of thing for the heart of the matter?
I think that allows you to get to the heart of the matter.
Yeah, okay.
Having that, and then following that, like, okay, first you do the gathering and organizing of information so that you can feed it back to your client.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe make some confrontations so that there's like that creates awareness. And then do a detection and analysis of what's going on here, what is the gap, so that then you can help your client to, okay, so then out of all of this, what do we need to work on?
Yes.
That's going to make the difference. Then you have a list. And once you have that list, you can look at, okay, what out of this one, which is the first one that we need to work on, and how is that going to affect the others? So then you kind of like create a hierarchy.
Yes.
But you need to have the strategy process in order to be able to do that.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really useful. I just, a little, very simple little picture just popped in my mind. Mm-hmm. Which is actually quite nice.
Right.
I mean, all it is, it's like, you know, present state, desired state. For me, it was like those two circles at the top.
Yeah.
And there's two curved arrows coming down to another one which says heart of the matter. Then there was a line from that going down to question 7.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
and so that's sort of like, that's a simple version of the funnel.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, like my nanny is heading out. So give me just 1 second, and then we will wrap up. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Are you there, Maria?
Sorry, I had myself on mute, you know, when you're talking away.
Okay, yeah.
What was question 7, Neil?
Oh, so what do you need to do?
What do you need to do?
To get what you want.
Okay.
So that was a really key insight for me, that that question is like a pivotal moment within a coaching conversation.
Yeah.
To give this conversation focus on, here's the heart of the matter for where we are now in this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay, a real key I'm insight back. For me.
Thanks, Neil.
I've noticed, Maria, it sounds like you're collecting lots and lots of questions. Like in the last few sessions, you're asking Femke and others for examples of questions, specific questions that you use.
Yeah.
And you're writing those down.
Yeah.
I wonder, would you like to share some of the question sets that you've discovered and that I have as well?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Because, you know, sometimes it's, you know, like when you first start coaching, it's like you've got all this information and then you kind of like, if you don't revisit it, I'm finding, because I haven't sort of coached a lot in the last couple of years since coming to Italy, it's not at the forefront of my mind.
Yes.
So when you're not using them, it just doesn't come, like it's not, you know, inherently just there sitting there. I need to bring it back into focus before then it can blend back into the background, so it's just there all along. But I find if I'm not using it, I get a bit lost, because I'm like, it's not in my vocabulary. It's not in my
thinking.
So yeah. I'm trying to bring it back to the forefront so I can use them more.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll do that now.
Yeah, so we can certainly email, you know, sometime to share some things, because, I mean, what you've described there, I think, is something I'm doing as well.
Okay.
To collect a lot of really elegant questions as examples of ways to do some of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, for me, I find it helpful, because then you can later adapt, you know, to your own style and that, but having something to model, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so.
So I'll do that. Yeah,
I'll shoot you a message.
Yeah, do I have your email address, Neil?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure whether I have yours, but, I mean, we can just message each other. We'll put something on Facebook or something.
Yep, sounds good.
Perfect.
Oh, you're back.
Yes. I didn't hear, like, I might have still been muted when I said, oh, I'm back.
Okay.
Okay, so was this useful for today?
Yeah, fantastic.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Any other questions?
No, it could be for next time potentially, but, you know, you mentioned, I guess, flexibility meta programs, like how do you then go about, if it's the client's desire to bring flexibility in meta programs, like, you know, being more internally referenced than externally referenced. So I'd like to model that from you.
Okay. So how you go about with stretching the meta program?
Yes, and specifically, which is important for my client, I think now, is the bringing the internal referencing.
Yeah. Well, and I think with regards to that is also like, what is internal referencing? How does she do that specifically?
Well, that's the thing. She's not doing that now so much.
Well, like not in specific context.
Yes.
Because
yes,
she figured out that she can do it.
She can do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So how does she do it, and what holds that in place? But also, I think in terms of like, in this situation, and that happens more often, is that she's able to do the other thinking style. So that's not necessarily the problem. But right now what is holding that in place is, I am thinking, is that sense of safety.
Yeah.
She's looking for safety. But what she doesn't realize is that she's creating the unsafety for herself right now.
That brings a tear to my eye. That's kind of quite profound, really, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's one of the things that I noticed, is that sense of like that, having to do it right and searching for what is the right answer? What is it right? But with having like a moving target.
Yeah.
For herself, she is creating the unsafety.
Yeah.
In that, and I think that's what you need to help her realize first.
Yeah.
Because that's what holds the external referencing in place. Because I think that's what she's thinking, is if I do external referencing, if I can just manage her mood, then I am safe.
Yeah.
And I think it's much more than about like some new understandings about herself, and creating safety inside of herself. That's going to make the difference.
Yeah, thank you.
So sometimes it is really about getting, and that's what I had yesterday as well with one of my clients, is that she knows how to do, and it was actually also external internal reference. She knows how to do internal referencing.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a belief that was holding her external referencing in place.
Yeah.
So to figure out how is someone doing that external or internal referencing, and what needs to change. Yeah. So sometimes that has to do with permission, but what helps is to really map that out.
Thank you so much. That's really helpful.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you.
I'm really
you.
Pleased I woke up early this morning. That was so valuable.
Very good. Sounds good, Neil. And Maria, do you want to stay on for like maybe 15 minutes and we can go through the feedback?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. All right. So, Neil, thank you for being on the call. Are you still
Bye-bye.
There? Bye.
Thanks, Neil. Bye.
Have
Bye-bye.
A great day.
See you, Maria.
Bye, Neil.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Maria. So, how did you feel that last session went with Susan?
I don't know if you listened right till the end or not.
No, I listened to about an hour.
At the end, sort of the last maybe 5 or 10 minutes, like, you know, I actually said to Susan that I felt that, that I let her down in terms of, you know, not getting enough of the, not getting enough of the detail on the structure, uncovering enough of the detail and structure. Like a lot earlier on, it's taken a while to get there. But in saying that too, that, you know, I think whatever needs to happen, you know, happens in a coaching session. So it kind of, you know, allowed me to see that, yeah, what was going on. But I felt like I met, you know, said that I felt like I'd failed her in some ways to identify, to get her, like, you know, to kind of ground, I guess, the KPI.
Right. Yeah. And so,
so how do I feel it went? Well, I was more focused, but I'm still more focused on really trying to bring it back to something like an outcome that, you know, that's measurable. But I didn't nail it. So I'm still, I've got all these pieces, Femke, that I'm kind of like, don't know, like, you know, it's like all the bones, you know, that the owner of the dog throws, and I've got all this information, and it's like, what do I do with it? Which one do I follow? Like, so that's, yeah.
So, like, I'm just going to, like, move away a little bit from, like, the structure of the feedback form. And I'm going to relate, like, to some of the skills. But one of the things that I noticed that you did really well in this conversation is that you started with the trigger. So you asked her something. You asked her a question, and then she goes blank. And then she she goes to, like, I should have an answer ready.
Yeah.
And she already thought that it was a long time, but she, which was funny because she immediately goes to uncomfortable and ashamed and self-judgment. So, like, yeah. I'm not sure how long she gives herself, but it's not a lot. It's maybe a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
Before that already arises. So, but you got all of that information. And for me, like, it really is a case of putting that story together. So you have all of those elements, now bring those elements together in a story. So what happens first is that I ask you a question, and then in a split second you turn blank and start self-judging yourself, and you create that state by saying to yourself, if I were doing a better job, I would have an answer right now. Like, what did I write there? I'm not meeting my standards, which creates feeling of uncomfortable. I have to have it figured out by now, which then creates, like, shame and self-judgment about your uncomfortable blankness. So that's how you can wrap it all up. And then she also went to, if I can manage her mood, I'm safe. That's what, like, ultimately came up.
Yeah.
So bringing the story together.
Okay.
I think is one. And then also layering your meta questions. So this is what you believe. And then what do you believe about that belief? And then what do you believe about that? And really starting to layer that.
Okay.
So that, because you asked something, what is the intention behind the blankness, I think is what you asked. Mm-hmm. Well, like, I would know, like, there's a trigger, and then she turns blank. First, I don't know what specifically she means with blank, like complete blankness, so deer in the headlights. That's where she goes. So you ask that question to get clarity on that.
Mm-hmm.
So she explained it a little bit more. You got more information there. And then you can ask. So I ask you a question. What do you believe about that question, about being asked that question, that puts you into complete blankness? Because complete blankness is a result of all of this thinking.
Yeah. So what do you believe about, what was that exactly?
What do you believe about my question that creates complete blankness in you?
Okay.
or where does your mind go? I believe that you ask that, and then you start layering that so that you can, you know, figure out the structure. And then as you are thinking in the structure, then you can also detect like, hey, so she said that sense of like, I have having to do everything right. And then she also talked about, and she didn't know what was behind that, but she also at the same time talked about, if I can manage her mood, I am safe.
Okay. So I don't think I really picked that up enough.
Right. And I think that was a really critical statement that she made.
Yeah.
Because it implies not feeling safe. And she then said, I have that in intimate relationships. And so that's like, I'm thinking that that translates to Tommaso, and also I think is the kid's name Noah or something.
Yeah.
Who is like, I think a moving target. Because it, like, I think the kid is quite unpredictable.
Yeah.
And not consistent, and that is for her, I think, triggers all of these old things, and also Tommaso, in the way that he is responding, he's doing a lot of blaming, it sounds like. And just between you and me, it sounds like a really toxic, this, like, to me personally, has nothing to do with culture.
Yeah, no.
It's
really, I mean, that's my
sick situation.
Yeah.
And I think, and that's also like, I would at some point check with her, do you really think this is about culture, or is that an excuse?
Yeah, and I think, I don't know if it came out later after you've, after you, what you listened to, but she had a conversation with an Italian lady who actually gave her that same feedback that this isn't cultural, and she's Italian, so she really, it kind of opened her, kind of gave her, I guess, that external check, which she's at the moment.
Which helps, yeah. But she's this, like, I think it, this is a, yeah, I'm glad that that's, because at some point I think you need, like, that's something to really check. Like, it might also be a excuse, so that she doesn't have to make like a hard decision, or because she's still, it sounds like she's still trying to please her mom too.
Yeah, she is.
So what is she trying to get from them? I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That she's never going to get. So, but like, I think you would get there by going to, if I can manage my mood, I am safe. So, and then she kept on saying, I having to do it right. And I'm curious, how are those two related? The creating safety to herself and having to do it right. Are they related? And if so, in what way?
Sorry, I missed that, Femke. So having to do it right, and what was the...
And creating safety for herself.
Yeah.
And by so she creates a, like, she's looking for standards that are not there.
Yeah.
That she can't find. Which... then, like, if she's not doing it right, then she starts judging and she's ashamed because she's not good enough. So that sounds to me like she's creating a really unsafe situation for herself.
Yeah.
And that, I think, like, once she's able to see that, realizing that it's not her mom and it's not like Tommaso who are creating the unsafe situations, but that she is doing that herself right now, then you can maybe, like, then pro, like, I'm thinking that, what does she need to have in the desired state? I'm thinking it is like a sense of safety inside of herself. so that she can create the space for her without being worn out or worn down.
Yeah. I'm just writing this down.
Yeah.
Space. Okay. Maybe I should just hand her over to you, Femke. you know when you just something resonated today, you know, like I guess I do relate, you know, in terms of her, you know, the cultural differences and things like that, and so, but you know, and I try and step back from that as well, but I think, you know, if you start taking on too much of the, and because she's a friend too, start taking on too much of the emotion, it can kind of cloud your thinking.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Well, and I also think that this is not like, what she's talking about is not an easy topic.
Yeah.
Because she is probably confusing herself a lot because her boundaries are unclear.
Yeah.
So it's certainly not like an easy topic by any means. But what I noticed is that you did a lot more of is sticking with the structure and staying focused and getting all the details. It's just building that story and grabbing all those details together and how they relate.
So one thing I tasked her at the end of the thing. So the way we left it in the end was actually, so she's gone on holidays a little bit. She's actually going back to the States as well over the next, so we won't have another coaching session for another month or so.
Okay.
Tasked her on to when she's triggered and you know, she gets into that state, to just step back from that, whether it's in the moment or, you know, later, and try and write down the structure of what happens for her.
Okay.
Just, yeah. I don't know if it's helpful or not, but I thought it, you know, just to start for her to start realizing her, like, you know, her strategy process for creating that state for herself.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, and also if, you know, because you say like handing it over, but if you want to do like a co-coaching session sometime.
Okay.
That would be fine too.
Oh, okay. So tell me how that would work.
Well, then we just get on a call, three of us.
Okay.
And
well, that sounds great.
And then I can take the lead and get some like certain ideas of like and maybe like it's, you know, kind of like starting over again, but getting like the different present states where she is doing something, and then I can give you an example of what's going on, and then like, you know, midway through we can stop and like have a little discussion if she's okay with that. I'm perfectly fine getting on a call and doing that.
Oh, okay, thank you. Okay, I think that would be a really great learning too.
Yeah, definitely. I think, doing it that way is helpful.
I'm not sure that we normally have the coaching sessions 10 o'clock in the morning European time. So I don't think that works for you, does it, Femke? That's kind
no,
of your
that's like thing. 1 o'clock.
Good morning, isn't it?
I'm usually happy that like my son is asleep and I can sleep too then.
Yeah, that might be tricky because then my kids are home and everything from school and everything, like at the, you know, this time of the evening, even 6 o'clock, they're all home from school.
Right, yeah. Because I can do like 4 o'clock your time.
4 o'clock, okay.
4:30.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So, but just, think about it and check with her.
Okay. Yeah. Let me have a think. Yeah, I'd still have to get the kids to go somewhere after school because they would. Okay. All right. Now we could potentially make that work as a school holiday. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Well, like when once I can set up the session, I'll let you know. That would be good.
Yeah. That sounds good. Yeah. Okay, and so like that's for the structure of the story and building that. Mm-hmm. And then as you do that, then you're going to slow it down too, so that you can hear those things that you missed now in terms of like an intimate relationship. Like, if I can manage her mood, then I'm safe. Mm-hmm. That's at a higher level. And getting details there, because you're asking the testing questions, so you can easily bring it back to the what question. So it's really grabbing all hold of all of that, building the story, and then getting more of the clarity questions and meta questions.
Yeah. Clarity is the key.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there any other feedback that you wanted to?
Nope, I think that's it. That's the main thing.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yes, you're very welcome.
And hubby told me, he emailed me to say, because I emailed him the details, that he transferred the money today, so you should see that in your account.
Oh, perfect. That sounds good.
Excellent. Thank you, Femke.
All right. Speak to you soon again.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Have a good day. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.